Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on this Friday morning here on WGR Sports Radio 550. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Brayton Wilson here with you once again, filling in on the Extra Point Show. Paul Hamilton's also joining us. He's on the Western Hotline today because he is down at the arena awaiting Sabres practice, which begins at 11 a.m. down at KeyBank Center. Good morning, Paul. How are you on this fine Friday?
Good. Just me and a Zamboni down here right
hey,
now.
Hey. There you go. Never a bad thing to be here in the Zamboni rolling around down there at the ice. A pretty interesting day ahead for the Sabres, Paul. I mean, they had a day off yesterday after a big win to get their first win of the season against Ottawa, which we talked at length about the other day, yesterday, actually. But today, with practice, it'll be interesting to see if there's potentially maybe any other names that could be available for the team coming off injury or anything maybe to do with Justin Danforth. But certainly, Paul, yeah, I mean, looking ahead, you got the Panthers coming into town tomorrow to close out the three-game home trip before heading to Montreal for a game, and then taking on the Detroit Red Wings on a Wednesday, and then taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs for a home-and-home series next weekend starting Friday. Pretty big stretch of games here ahead, wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, and Lindy Ruff was hoping to get Matias Samuelsson back for the weekend. He did not participate in the morning skate the other day for the Ottawa game. But that doesn't mean that he wasn't on the ice or that he won't be ready to play on the weekend, which would be tomorrow. Jordan Greenway, I think it's just how much practice does he need? You know, does he need more practice? I mean, I just looked it up. He hasn't played a game since March 23rd, and last year he only played 34 games. He's never played 82. He played 81 his rookie season with the Minnesota Wild. And since then, he's played 67, 56, 62, 62, 67, and 34. That's about 74% of his team's games. Mm-hmm. So really, the Sabres have three guys that can't stay healthy and can't, you know, play a majority of their games. And Josh Norris, Matias Samuelsson, and Jordan Greenway. But the news was good after practice. He felt good. I anticipate we will probably see him out today if there was no setback. And I suppose it's possible he could play tomorrow.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, we'll have to wind up. It's just, again, when Lindy Ruff thinks he's ready. It's not a pain management thing or anything like that. He's ready to join practice. He's full go in practice now. And it's just a matter of, you know, when is he ready to jump into a game? Is it now? Is it going to be, you know, against Montreal? Is it going to be after that? But it's soon. I mean, it's coming. So those are the two that probably have a possible opportunity into playing tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where Jordan Greenway kind of slots in, Paul, because I know Justin Danforth left with, a lower body injury on Wednesday, or whatever that game was, Wednesday? Yeah, all the days are kind of blending in for me right now. But Wednesday, Justin Danforth left and did not return. So if Greenway does come back to practice and there's optimism that he could play, I mean, the easy answer is, well, he just kind of takes his slot on the fourth line with Tyson Kozak and Beck Malenstein. But
no, that's not the easy place for me.
Right.
He goes back on his line with McLeod and Zucker.
Okay.
That was a very good line for them last year, but they couldn't keep it together because they had to start using Zucker in the top six because of injuries.
And they might have to do it again.
Right. So they haven't been able to keep, but when everybody was healthy, and that could be the line supporting the top six, that was an excellent line. Mm-hmm. They really played well together, you know, in both ends of the ice. So that's where I would start with him if it's possible, if you don't need Zucker someplace else, or if they're going to put Kulik at center and Thompson back on wing. Well, now you got Tuck over there, so that makes things a little bit different. But if you keep Thompson at center, because Kulik did center that. That line got back together near the end of that Ottawa game with Kulik centering Benson and Thompson. So we'll see in practice today what might happen. But if Tuck's still with Thompson, then I think there's an opportunity maybe to throw that line together with Zucker and McLeod and Greenway, if Greenway is ready to play.
Right. And then, you know, if you do put that line together, then you got to shuffle things around. You got to have, do you throw Peyton Krebs? Yeah, right. Do you throw Krebs up on the second line with Doan and Tuck?
With Kulik. If Thompson is still on the wing, and
yeah,
Tuck is on his wing, then I think Kulik would probably center.
Shift back to center, right.
Krebs and Quinn, mm-hmm, likely. And then Malenstein, Kozak, and I'm missing somebody. I'm going by memory. My lines are on my other computer. there's one. It doesn't matter. It's an energy type of a player. I don't think it's Gertzen. Dunn, maybe. I think Dunn's still around.
Josh Dunn.
You know, then you would have the – oh, how about Doan?
Yep. Josh,
that's the person we were missing here. So Krebs might not be. It might be Kulik, Doan, and Quinn.
Okay.
You know, something like that. And then Krebs would be down with Malenstein and Kozak.
Okay. I am curious how they're going to shuffle things around because I'm interested, Paul, because Kulik is an interesting player because he's been getting looks at both wing and center, and he's looked fairly decent down the middle. I think he's better off on the wing, but he is getting the opportunities down the middle, and he was drafted more so as a centerman. But I don't know, Paul, your thoughts in terms of the outlook for Yuri Kulik at the NHL level in terms of whether he's a better fit at center or wing.
Well, I think he's a much better centerman. It's happened in both places now. In Rochester, when they put him at center, he improved greatly and quickly. And last year when they put him at center, he improved drastically. That was where he was at the end of the season. I think he's a much better centerman than a wing. He's more comfortable there. He's understood the defensive assignments. Now, I don't think he responded very well against the Ottawa Senators, even though he got the open net goal. And there's a possibility, you know, we're talking about maybe he's not even in the lineup. You know, he might have played himself out if Greenway is ready to play. You know, then Krebs would be, you know, the center on that line with Doan and Quinn. So it's possible, you know, he Lindy Ruff didn't like the response he got. Lindy Ruff was asked about it afterwards, and he was lukewarm at best at what he saw, and so am I. I did not see the Yuri Kulik even close to what we saw last year. So, you know, if Greenway is ready to play, Kulik may have played himself out of the lineup for a bit.
Yeah, which is interesting because, what else is new with the team, Paul? You see these guys like the Yuri Kulik's, the Ryan McLeods, and Jack Quinn's, and some of these players who get off to these really slow starts, and it's about finding ways to get their game going. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday with maybe that empty net goal. I know it was an empty netter, but the puck goes into the net. Maybe that helps Yuri Kulik get going, and then maybe in practice today, Kulik impresses Lindy Ruff more and finds himself back in the lineup. It's what is it that needs to be done more at this point to get these guys ready to go off the hop? I mean, it seems frustrating all the time when we talk about these slow starts. We talk about the 0-3 starts and the really lackluster play. What is it now that, you know, it's trying to find these players to get their gears going right off the bat and not come out so sluggish to start the season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty shocked by Yuri Kulik. I didn't think he thought he had it made or anything like that. And, you know, he's got I thought he understood the way he's got to play to be able to play in the National Hockey League. And, you know, Seth Appert has always been pretty frank with him. He was his coach in Rochester, and I know the two of them have been talking quite a bit the last little bit here in Buffalo, and Seth Appert is not going to pull any punches with him. Never has. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Yuri Kulik kind of, you know, appreciated that along the way. And, you know, even when Yuri Kulik was having trouble with English, Seth Appert took the time to, you know, because it was kind of tough love with him, and maybe Yuri Kulik wasn't understanding fully what was going on. He took the time to actually write a letter to Yuri Kulik in his language to let him know what he means and what he's looking for. And I guess that meant a lot to Yuri Kulik, that he took the time to do that so he could read what Seth Appert was getting at in his language. And, you know, it's so that's the kind of relationship they have. And it wouldn't be long. I mean, even if Yuri Kulik sat a game, it might be a game. I don't think it would be a long-term thing unless right. The Sabres went on a... Now, on the other side of that coin, you might say, well, why do you want to change the lineup after an 8-4 win? So you might go with that thought process also. But you're going to – I mean, if Samuelson's ready to play, he's going in. They obviously weren't happy with Ryan Johnson. He played just over 5 minutes and got sent down to Rochester.
Yeah.
So that obviously was not going well in Lindy Ruff's mind at all.
Yeah.
I mean, most of his defensemen not named Bryson were well over 20 minutes. And Bryson played in 12-ish. I'm just going by memory. And Johnson was just over 5. So he got benched pretty quick and wound up in Rochester. So, and Metsä, quite honestly, I don't think had a very good preseason in the two games preseason games I saw. I thought it didn't go well at all. So I'm thinking it's possible he might be the extra. You know, maybe... You know, Samuelson is going to go in the lineup, which he would take Johnson's slot, and then Metz is the extra defenseman.
Paul Hamilton joining us from KeyBank Center this morning as the Sabres will hit the ice at 11 o'clock. Brayton Wilson here with you on the Extra Point Show on WGR. Feel free to join us at any point if you've got a Sabres question or if you want to talk some football even during the Bills bye week. 803-0550 is the local number here. And if you need the toll-free number, it's 1-888-550-2550. I know that we had some callers yesterday calling in late to the show. If you want to chime in, now would be the time to do so if you want to ask a question of Paul or whatnot. But yeah, I find that call up interesting too, Paul. To me, that reads that obviously, yeah, Ryan Johnson, they weren't necessarily happy with him, and especially if they're trying to get him to play on the off side of what he normally plays on the right side. You bring in a guy who is a right shot defenseman, and yeah, maybe he's the extra defenseman, but maybe there's the opportunity for him to get a look in Saturday's game. Just, I mean, you also mentioned, too, Jacob Bryson only played a handful of minutes as well, and as they went very heavy with the top four of defensemen of Byram, Dahlin, Power, and Timmins. Maybe with Samuelson coming back, he takes that left slot, and then maybe Zach Metsä gets the opportunity to get his first NHL action and to... You know, maybe see what he's got against a Panthers team that is a little banged up and, you know, I don't know what their goaltender situation is, because they just played a second game yesterday, which they lost, and we'll get to a little bit of previewing the Panthers in a little bit. But I could see easily where Zach Metsa maybe steps into the lineup just to get that taste of the NHL action, whether he plays 8 minutes, 12 minutes, 16 minutes. I don't know what exactly, but, you know, Zach Metz is certainly a guy that I agree. I didn't necessarily see much from him in the preseason, but I mean, he's shown plenty of growth in his development at the AHL level that garnered him to get an entry level contract with the team this offseason.
Certainly he's earned it. I mean, I'm trying to remember if he wasn't even recruited all that much at Quinnipiac. I got to ask him that. That's one of the things I want to ask him. You know, but I know in professional hockey, that nobody wanted him. He had to sign an AHL contract and goes to Rochester. It was after Quinnipiac won the national championship. He was their captain, by the way. Mm-hmm. So he went from possibly, you know, not even highly recruited to being the captain of the team and winning the championship. And then again, he has to start over again because he's not the biggest thing in the world, and goes in Rochester, and they put him in the lineup. Seth Appert put him in the lineup for the playoffs. Couldn't get him out. It was like, we can't take him out. He's really playing well.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has continued to play well for Rochester to the point he is now their captain. And as you mentioned, earned a contract, an NHL contract for the first time.
Yeah.
So he's always been counted out, even if it wasn't in college. He was counted out in the AHL. He was counted out, he'll never be in the NHL, you know, type of a thing. And he's always overcome, and he's always had a C on his sweater. And I'm not saying he's coming up here to be the captain, but, you know, he is the captain of Rochester now.
Yeah.
And, you know, so Mike Leone thinks enough of him that, you know, that he's done that. So I've always really liked his game. You know, anytime I've watched Rochester, I can count on one hand, and I might get to one or two fingers, how many poor games I've seen him play down in the AHL. Not that I see all their games. But every time I go down there and watch, he is usually one of their better players.
Yeah, I agree, because and the one thing that was interesting is when he did sign his AHL contract, a lot of people who are, you know, college hockey fanatics and people that maybe watched Metsa play at the collegiate level with Quinnipiac, they raved about his two-way play. They raved about his leadership. I mean, he was the captain of the team that won the national championship a few years back.
And over Ryan Johnson's
Minnesota
team.
Over Ryan Johnson, right, exactly. So when he went to Rochester, there was a lot of promise there, and it was just like, well, let's see what he does in the professional level when he starts playing those type of level of games. And I agree with you, Paul. When I watch him, it just seems like he's so calm, cool, and collected. He doesn't lose his composure very often. He skates incredibly well for being maybe a little bit of a smaller defenseman. But, you know, he's just got a really nice level head to him. He's heady. He's smart. And he's really grown his game to the point where I absolutely was clamoring for the Sabres to sign him to an entry-level contract even before they did get the chance to sign him. So I want to personally see what Metsa can do at the NHL level. And, yeah, it's not going to be anything super drastic right off the bat. I only expect him maybe to play 8-10 minutes to start. But maybe that fresh taste of action will allow him to kind of bolster his confidence a little bit, and then when he goes back to Rochester, or if he manages to stick around in the NHL, it just continues to build and build. And then who knows, maybe the Sabres have a really nice veteran, or not veteran, but older defensive piece that turns into something special for them. I'm not entirely sure what to expect of Zach Metsa at the top level, but I think there is potential for him to blossom into something that would be a win for the Sabres and Kevin Adams in that front office.
Well, as I mentioned, and you just said, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays well if he gets an opportunity, because that's what he does. He gets counted out, and then he comes in and plays well, and then it's like, wow, you know, and then he earns the next thing, whatever that next thing is. You talk about guys having to earn it. There's a guy that's had to earn it his mm-hmm. whole life.
Right.
You know, because he's small, so of course he's going to be counted out. But there's a guy that every level has had to earn it and has done it.
Paul Hamilton here on the Western Hotline from Sabres practice on WGR. Of course, the Sabres are not practicing just yet. You don't hear any hockey sounds in the background. The only thing I've heard so far, Paul, other than the Zamboni, is the end of period horn go off, which I'm not sure why they would be doing that at this time.
Oh, did it? Because I'm so used to it now. When it goes off, it doesn't even... I don't even remember hearing it. So,
right, yeah. It's, just...
it's like the goal song. Everybody gives me a hard time because I'm clueless with goal songs. It's like... It's on. I don't care. And I have to tweet the goal. I have to write down in my notes. I have to watch the replay of the goal. The music in the background is the last thing I'm paying attention to. So it's like, oh, they have goal songs? I didn't know. I don't care. It's not. That's for fans. It's not for me.
I remember quite a few years back, Paul.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I was producing for Howard and Jeremy. We had a conversation the one time when the World Championships were going on, and Sweden had changed their goal song from one that they had played for several years, and people were so upset because they changed it to ABBA, and I was just like, Paul, you love ABBA. Like, why would they be so upset, even, especially Swedish people? Why would they be upset that they changed their goal song to something from ABBA? And, you know, the tournament, they started, I think it was like the first two or three games, they played Mamma Mia. And then after that, they went back to the old goal song. It's just like, what? Don't give in to that kind of crap. Come on.
Well, Sal asked me the other day when I was on with him, if we turned on whatever music you listen to, or however you listen to it, what would we hear? What would be on it? And I said, it's not like, there are songs I like. It's not necessarily groups I like. There would be some ABBA on there. There would be some Shania Twain. There would be some Led Zeppelin.
Oh, my goodness.
There would be some Deep Purple. There would be some Metallica. There would be everything all over the place. There would be some Ella Langley. There would be some Lainey Wilson. It's just, you know, I just go with songs I like, you know. So I can't really say, well, yeah, my music that I listen to is dominated by this group or is this genre.
Were you a big Kiss fan at all, Paul?
Yes, and I do have some Kiss also that I listen to. And
have any thoughts about Ace Frehley passing away?
Yeah, one of his friends wrote that they were expecting that. I saw recently he had a fall at home.
Ooh.
And he had to cancel some concerts. So whether the fall had anything to do, he was 74 years old. With his death, I don't know, or if he had been ill, but it's just now all of a sudden, you know, people that I grew up watching and listening to, and that they're starting to, you know, Robert Redford just passed, and Diane Keaton just passed, and one of the members of Kiss has just passed, and there's a bunch that I'm forgetting of the people of that era now, it's like, oh no. I mean, people, some athletes recently that I grew up watching have passed. Ryan Sandberg.
Yeah.
Who I remember playing when the Bisons were Double A with the Reading Phillies. He and Ozzie Virgil were here together. So it's kind of hits home a little bit.
All right, 803-0551, 888-552-550 are the numbers if you would like to join us. If you have any questions for Paul Hamilton relating to the Sabres, if you want to talk some football, whatever you want to discuss this Friday afternoon, we're kind of wide open here as the Sabres are expected to hit the ice for practice at 11 a.m. And, of course, Paul will be down there. He will have the latest for you in terms of who returns, who's not out on the ice. Some interesting things that I definitely want to bring up. I was just perusing Twitter here a little bit ago, and a memory came up from 19 years ago that, Joe, I'm definitely going to need you to grab, and we're going to play at some point today because, holy cow, I remember this game, and it was one of the more exciting, fun games, and the outcome of that game was just as great as well. Brayton Wilson here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll step aside and come back with a little bit of a preview of the game against the Panthers tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about the Panthers coming up. Paul Hamilton, again, from KeyBank Center for Sabres practice, and you're listening to WGR.
After review of the call on the ice stands, we have a goal. Oh, sorry.
Oh, hang on.
Excuse me. After review, there is no goal.
Ugh.
Florida will be charged a bench minor penalty for delay of game.
Was that from last night's game? Okay, that was from last night's game. Panthers, Devils, Florida, Paul, all of a sudden slumping a bit from their hot start, despite not having Barkov, despite not having Tkachuk available. They got out to a 3-0 start to the season. However, they've lost their last three games, and all of a sudden are sitting at 3-3, and maybe some questions surrounding this Florida Panthers team.
Well, I think it's questions. I think everybody knows what the problem is. you know, their two best players are out for a long period of time. Now, there's still live talent. There's no question about that. But, take those two players out of the line, any lineup, and you're going to have problems. I've had some people tweet me, when I do the lines, AHL lineup. It's like, okay. Take six guys out of any lineup in the NHL. You have 20 guys. Take six guys out. What percentage is that? And tell me that their lineup is going to be not filled with AHL people also.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it is. So, Florida, they know what problems they have. And, but what are you going to do? I mean, when your two best players by far are not going to be around for a while, it's going to change the complexion of your team.
Now I was kind of half-heartedly joking about the whole problems issue with the Panthers, because you look at their lineup from top to bottom, and they don't have anyone that is AHL level on their roster. All of their players that they have are definitely NHL players. It's just their different style of players, and they just kind of have to find that little gel component to get all of them to play. But I mean, when you have elite level players like Alexander Barkov and Matthew Tkachuk out of the lineup, you're right, it is about trying to find those right combinations, trying to find what works. And outside of losing Barkov, you had to shift Sam Bennett to center to play with Marchand and Rodriguez. And then after that, you still have Anton Lundell down the middle, who's playing with Verhaeghe and Reinhardt. I mean, that's a stellar line right there. And then you got your third line, Eetu Luotarainen with Mäki Samaskevich, who's a really good young forward, a former first-round pick of the Panthers, which they, surprising they have a first-round pick, surprising they kept him. And then they have Jesper Boqvist, who's also been very good for them. So, yeah, it's really, I look at their lineup and still think, like, man, this team is still so good, even without having the likes of Barkov and Tkachuk in there. And then when those two guys are available and playing for them, that there's a reason why they're back-to-back Stanley Cup champions right now.
Yeah, and don't forget, too, I think Florida learned something from the Tampa Bay Lightning when they were back-to-back. Teams like Tampa and Florida, they couldn't care less about the President's Trophy.
No.
That's not what they're here for. The 82-game season to those teams is preseason.
Mm-hmm.
It's 82 games of preseason hockey. All you got to do is get in. And it's been proven, it doesn't matter if you're home or away, plenty of away teams win in the playoffs. So that really doesn't matter all that much either. So it's just like, let's get through the regular season as healthy as we can. It's basically a preseason where if we got to try something, we can try some things. But they couldn't care less about where they finish in the regular season. It's just, all right, as long as we have a ticket to be in the playoffs, we'll be fine.
Right. And I also forgot another injury, not a significant injury, but an injury that is notable, no doubt. Dmitry Kulikov, former Sabre Dmitry Kulikov, by the way, he's out multiple months with a hand injury. I think he had surgery on his hand or something like that, but he's out for multiple months. So they have plenty of, you know, high talent or, you know, just veteran players that have been around and know the system well that are not available for them. But again, their lineup is so good. What are you expecting to see in net, Paul? I'm guessing because Tarasov played yesterday, if I'm looking at the box score right, Tarasov played yesterday, that means that Bobrovsky's probably playing Saturday.
Yeah, I would almost say definitely, unless he's hurt.
Hey, the more that I can see the top talent playing against the Sabres and coming to town and whatnot, I think it's more entertaining anyway. I mean, I'd rather see Bobrovsky over Tarasov, but... bring on the challenge, especially with the way the Sabres did play on Wednesday night. Let's see if that could carry over and go up against the top talent that the Panthers have to offer.
And for the Sabres, I mean, they had a day off yesterday, a day of practice, so there's a couple of days in between games. I don't see any reason why Lyon would not be in net. Now, you might see Ellis on Monday against Montreal. You know, that's a possibility that might be the spot where you see him. The back-to-back to Toronto, he might play in it, but I would not want that to be his first NHL game. You know,
right.
I would like – he already have an NHL game if he has to play that back-to-back. So, in my mind, I think Montreal might be the place for him.
Where do we stand on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, by the way, Paul? I know that he returned to practice last week – or earlier this week, I should say. Again, the days are all kind of molding together. I've said today is Monday. I've said today is Wednesday, and – I can't get my days straight, but where do we stand with Luukkonen in terms of his health, and has Lindy Ruff given an estimated timetable in terms of when he could possibly be back in the net? Like, we might not even get the chance to see Colton Ellis at this point.
Oh, you'll get the chance. He has to play in Rochester. Mm-hmm. He has to get a couple of games in. There's no way you can throw him in after he's played one period since April.
That makes sense.
So I think he's got to have a rehab assignment in Rochester when he's ready. Actually, I'm looking at him right now. Goalie practice usually goes on right now before regular practice. So Luukkonen's the first goaltender on the ice. So obviously his practice the other day went well enough that he's back on the ice today. And we'll be joining the team for practice. So that's good news that he felt good and is doing well. But I can't say definitely he's going to get a rehab assignment, but I would be very surprised if all of a sudden they just throw him in and say, well, here you go. You've played one period since April. Enjoy. You know.
The reason I didn't bring it up in the first place, Paul, is because I can't remember the last time that the Sabres actually had a situation like that where they needed to send a goaltender to Rochester for a rehab assignment, or really anybody for that matter. It's always just been, oh, hey, he's healthy enough to play. Get him back in the net. Or get him back on the ice.
They've never had the situation where the goaltender's only played one period since April.
Yeah, that too.
You know, it's that like, too. Well, he played and got hurt. You know, he played 20 games, got hurt. You know, it's not like his first action. I mean, he had a training camp. Mm-hmm. You know, this is his training camp, you know, for basically since he got hurt. You know, he got hurt in the first preseason game that he played in. You know, he wasn't ready to go, and then he did get ready to go and had some practices, and the other goaltenders had already played. It's like, okay, well, we got to get him into some games, and they did get him into some games, and then it was one period of a game, which, he played pretty well in. It was double-figure shots. I want to say maybe he stopped 11 or 12 or 12 or 13, something like that. So even though he had a problem and it wasn't great, he seemed to be okay, you know, that as far as stopping pucks. But I just don't think one period's enough. It wouldn't even be just one. I mean, it would be a couple of games at least where you could get him down there. You would hope maybe you get in a situation in Rochester where they have three games in 3 days and he could play Friday and Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, type of a situation.
Yep.
Even if you want to put him in back-to-back, I suppose you could do that too. But play a game, then rest, and then play the next game and, you know, get him two games like that.
Paul Hamilton at Sabres practice this morning. He joins us on the Western Hotline. He'll be with us for another 20 minutes before the Sabres really get going for practice. Paul, looking at the NHL standings here in the Atlantic, you know, the optimist in me looks at, you know, the game tomorrow and you say, hey, the Sabres managed to find a way to win in regulation to Florida or even in overtime. You get two more points and all of a sudden you're having the discussions of, okay, they're only, you know, two, maybe 3 points out of a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference or even just a top spot in the Atlantic Division. Other than that, you know, Montreal has won 4 games in a row since losing the first game of the year, so they are atop the division. Detroit's playing well, 3 games in a row they've won. Toronto is right up there as well, and then you got Boston and then Florida and then Ottawa too. But I know right now the Sabres are at the bottom of the Atlantic, but thankfully they got that win on Wednesday where we're not, you know, almost at a point where we're pressing the complete panic button and trying to detonate the nuclear bomb. But, you know, if they get the win and if they come away with a victory on Saturday, things start looking really interesting in the division.
I have to be honest with you. I almost never look at the division standings.
It's always conference standings?
It's always conference. Like every time I pull them up, even the other day from the NHL.com, I always pull up conference to see where it is because it'll tell you where you are as far as the division goes because they do it with the top three and then the conference is listed. So, yeah, I pretty much never know where they are in the division because it really doesn't matter. It matters where they are in the conference and are they in a playoff spot.
Well, Paul, you're better off than I am because my usual for looking at the standings is clicking the league tab and then scrolling all the way down at the bottom. I'm bad. It's been that way for years, and I like many people, I'm just so ready to be done doing that and hopefully just looking at it from, you know, you click the conference or you click the division and, oh, look, there's Buffalo, you know, in the top three or top four. That'd be really nice. Real quick, Paul, before we hit the break, I know usually when you preview games over at WGR550.com, you always like to include some of the players from the other teams that are playing well or that you're kind of focused on for this game. Who from Florida, you know, are you keying in on that, whether it's been, you know, a string of success against Buffalo or just someone to potentially be someone to watch for against the Sabres?
Well, of course, it's Sam Reinhart. I mean, even without those guys, Sam Reinhart is a 35 to 50 goal scorer depending on the season, and if there's not too many players that have been better that I've seen in front of the net than he. I mean, he was always, it's something that Sabres have really missed because he just knows how to tip pucks where they're going to wind up in the net. They're under, tips it under the crossbar, you know, tips it here and that type of a situation. He and Zucker are extremely good, but he's probably better than Zucker at it. But Zucker is who they have now, who's pretty good at it too. So, you know, he of course is a guy that I haven't had actually. I just had started writing my article for today and tomorrow because tomorrow's a 1 o'clock game, so It'll include kind of a preview. And I was actually writing about Greenway, so I hadn't quite gotten to the Panthers yet. So you beat me by about an hour and a half. So I can't tell you who their leading scorers are right now or anything like that because that is what I'm going to be doing probably 30 minutes after practice.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a way, I was...
Stay tuned. It will be in my article later this afternoon.
In a way, I was happy I beat you to the punch with your article, and then in another way, it's like, oh, I'm sorry I caught you off guard.
No, actually, we can now preview. You know, stay tuned. It'll be in the article later.
803-0551, 888-552-550. Talking plenty of Sabres hockey with Paul Hamilton, who's down at Sabres practice this morning, and we'll have plenty more hockey talk for you after Paul departs us to be able to cover practice. And then at 11 o'clock, it'll be myself, Joe Calley, who's running the board anyway, and then also Owen Parker is going to be joining us here for the final hour of the show. But when we come back, going to take a little trip down memory lane to an event that happened 19 years ago, and we'll get Paul's thoughts on that as well. Brayton Wilson here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which, by the way, is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Back with more on the Extra Point Show next on WGR.
Oh. But he said, when you see these fans rally like this, it makes you, as a player, and he recalled his days as a player, it makes you want to play even harder for them that they have come out like this. A spin again on
score! Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
But just too much speed to the outside. Finneganov's going to take this puck deep in his own zone. He goes unchallenged from about the middle of the circle in his own end through the neutral zone, creates the one-on-one chance against Darian Hatcher. A little inside-outside move. Hatcher, no match for the speedy of Finneganov.
Oh, Paul, that game happened 19 years ago. The Sabres earning a 9-1 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. And I think in Philadelphia lore, it's the night the Flyers died. I think that's what they call that. 6 second period goals by the Sabres on track to a 9-1 win. Oh, man. What do you remember from that game, Paul?
Basically what you just played. When was the day the Buffalo Sabres died?
Oh, man. You throw that back at me. Suffering. The day that Darcy said, this will require some suffering. I think that's when it happened. You're probably going to even say a little further back. Let me guess. The Lucic-Miller incident. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
No.
Further back.
The Drury-Briere free agency debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Cool.
The day that happened was the day the Buffalo Sabres died. They have, in my estimation, have never recovered from July 1st of that day when Briere and Drury left together.
Fair. To be fair, though, everything that I did mention could obviously have its own argument to be like, well, a part of the Sabres died this day. Or, you know, some people would say, no, that was when the Sabres died, yada, yada, so on and so forth. I don't know. For me, the complete downfall was when, you know, that press conference, which, by the way, Paul, I listened back to that and I found that entire audio of that press conference and I listened to the entire thing. This was probably a couple months back during the offseason when I was just bored and had nothing really else to do. I decided to listen to that press conference with the suffering. Holy cow. I don't know what you remember from that press conference, but there was a lot that happened there that was just kind of mind-boggling to me.
But the downfall had already happened. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, so they figured, well, to get back, we have to do this.
Yep.
The damage. I mean, and the thing about Briere and Drury is they easily could have kept both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, it would have cost 12 and a half for the players if you would have given the players what they wanted with no negotiation, and you could have kept those two. And then if the Oilers would have made their offer to Thomas Vanek, then you could have let Thomas Vanek go, and you would have had, what, 4 or 5 first-round picks from a team that, you know, picking pretty high up in the draft after that. So you could have had, basically, if you look at the trade, you could have had Briere, Drury, and what was it, 4 or 5 first-round picks – for Thomas Vanek.
Yeah.
It's basically what you could have wound up with. But the Sabres got to a point where they were forced to accept the offer that the Oilers made to Thomas Vanek, because they couldn't afford to lose Thomas Vanek when they already had lost Drury and Briere.
Man, if they had lost all three of them, I mean, that's revisionist history that we could discuss another day. But holy cow, what that could have been. What could that could have turned out to be? Could that have been a situation where they had, you know, been immediately bad and they end up with, you know, a guy like Steven Stamkos or a Drew Doughty or something like that? Like, that, to me, that's sort of the thought that I have, is just, I think they would have been very bad right after that, where they would be falling near the basement and they would have ended up with some really good talent in the late 2000s, early 2010s.
Yeah, but would have anybody known what to do with the talent?
Yeah, that's true.
They had some really good talent. They had a team on it with Eichel, Reinhardt, O'Reilly, and Evander Kane.
Yes.
Who, Evander Kane, when he's healthy, is a 30-goal scorer.
Yeah.
And how in the world are you one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League when you have that on your team? But the Sabres pulled it off.
Well, Paul, I'll leave you with this. I'm looking at the box score right now from that Sabres-Flyers game. Max Afinigenov had 5 points in that game.
It's only one more point than Zach Benson had the other night.
Yeah, yeah. A goal and 4 assists. So Benson had 4 assists. So Max Afinigenov, who was one of my favorite player back in that day, 5 points. Thomas Vanek had 4 points. And then they only had 5 players on that roster that did not register a point.
Yeah, it was a fun night for the fans of Buffalo.
Of all players, Yuri Novotny registered a point in that game. He scored a goal. The players that didn't score, Jochen Hesch, Dmitry Kalinin, Adam Mayer, Andrew Peters, and Jason Pominville. And if you want to count Ryan Miller,
too.
I'll
get on Andrew Peters about not getting a point in that game.
Yeah, you should.
Come on, Andrew. That's 9 goals. You can't get in on that.
By the way, he had 10:41 of ice time and 4 penalty minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes. You should have had a point. Yeah, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right. Well, Paul, we'll let you get going so you can cover practice. We'll be sure to follow along on X and get all the updates from you. And enjoy tomorrow's game as well.
Okay, take care.
All right, thanks, Paul. Paul Hamilton from Sabres Practice joining us on the Wester Hotline. Coming up next after the break, Owen Parker, who's been very busy over the last 24 to 48 hours. He's going to jump on with me for the final hour. Joe Calley's also here on the board. I got a little fun activity that I saw somebody else take part in, and I want to test Owen's knowledge here with this activity. We'll get to that at some point in the next hour, and we'll also talk plenty of hockey. If you got some football thoughts on the top of your mind, feel free to join us. 803-0550 is the number to join us here, as we're taking you through the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Hour two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming your way next on WGR. All right, back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And I know that we've been talking a lot about hockey because it is the Bills' bye week, but it still technically is Football Friday here on WGR. And Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law, Car Crash. Call Salino, call the 8s, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922. Brayton Wilson filling in here on the Extra Point Show. Our thanks to Paul Hamilton for not just for filling in also today for the first hour, but also filling in yesterday. Joining me now in studio, Owen Parker is joining me. He's been very busy over the last several days. Not only is he what is your official title?
My official title on the morning show is digital content producer.
Yes. So you're the digital content producer for the morning show, but you've also had to do it for the last 2 days because G has been out away doing whatever he's doing. So you're filling in again today.
Correct.
And now you're going to join me for an hour.
Long days over here at WGR Studios.
You make the money doing it this way, and you make your earnings and everything on the air doing it this way. Yeah. So appreciate you coming on and joining me for some fun talk for the next hour.
No problem. Happy to do it.
Yeah.
Excited to talk some hockey, a little football if we get to it too. So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Should be fun.
Yeah. Anybody that wants to chime in too, feel free to join us. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 are the numbers if you want to join us on the show. Talk some Sabres, talk some Bills, whatever is on your mind and you want to get off your chest or whatever. Feel free to let us know. Join the program. All right. Owen, the Sabres getting their first win of the season over the Ottawa Senators on Wednesday night. 8-4 after not being able to find the back of the net and really struggling to find the back of the net. It literally took a shot off of a Bruins defenseman to score from Jason Zucker against the Bruins, and then a long distance shot from Tage Thompson that somehow made it through to even get on the scoreboard. But Wednesday, they erupted for 8 goals. I mean, what do you make of the team through the first 4 games?
I was impressed that they were able to dig themselves out of a hole, however significant that may be in one game. But I thought they came out flat again in that game against Ottawa. They no shots on goal for the first period other than some power play shots, 3, I believe, and just didn't look good again. And I was up in the press box thinking, this might get ugly here. Because, you know, fans are restless for good reason. The players are restless, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen in the locker room being down there, there was an anxiety in that building that they had to deal with and overcome. And they did that. And I was impressed by that, is my first thought about that game, was that they got themselves going in the right direction when it would have been pretty easy to just continue with the way things had been going.
And they even got themselves back in the right direction, too, even after a really abysmal start to the third period. Mm-hmm. Lindy Ruff calls his timeout, which I've heard some people just in my circle with talks about the team, because, you know, I like to have those types of discussions with other people. But I had one discussion where it was just like, Lindy Ruff saved the season there. Because I think if he didn't have a timeout there, if he didn't call the timeout there, usually in years past, it snowballs where, oh man, we're losing our multi-goal lead. What do we do? And then it ends up being just puck in the back of the net, puck in the back of the net, relentless pressure, puck in the back of the net. And Lindy Ruff did the right thing, called his timeout, and moments later the Sabres scored, and then they just continued to build on that.
Yeah, and you know, on that same point where you're talking about not letting things snowball, we heard Tage Thompson say something very similar post-game against the Avalanche, where he mentioned, last year we got ourselves into trouble because something bad would happen, and it would, as we said, snowball, and they wouldn't be able to get out of it. And things would just add up, and that's what we saw in the losing streak. That's what we saw in the comeback games against the Avalanche that started the losing streak. And it's just it's important to see that the team can face that adversity and overcome it, especially early in the season when there was so much just anxiety and tension around that team with the way that they started. The fact that they were able to deal with that and get through it, I think, was a massive win for the team, both obviously to get some points in the standings finally, and mentally for them to say, all right, we can get out of something, we can get ourselves out of a tailspin and really sort of re-course correct.
Yeah, and I think one of the catalyst pieces of at least the Sabres turnaround, or not turnaround, but just the way that they've been able to have any sort of competitive edge to their play has been the play of Alex Lyon in net.
Yeah,
he's been in net for all 4 games. He's had his moments where, you know, maybe a goal here or there was just like, that doesn't look great, but he's looked relatively good for them, and he's kept Buffalo in every contest one way or another.
Yeah, I think if you were expecting any more out of Alex Lyon to start the year, you were misguided.
Yeah,
because he has played about as well as you could hope that a goalie at his level could play. If you're demanding more out of Lyon in any of these games, really, then you're looking in the wrong place. He was not getting goal support in his first few starts, regardless of how there was maybe one or two soft goals in each of those games that they did end up losing. It doesn't matter when you score 0-1-1. You're not winning those games.
No.
It's just not going to happen. And he looks in the net while playing the position – he looks really good to my eye as a goaltender and as a goaltender coach. He's calm. He's confident. He's making really good reads. He's holding his feet. He looks as solid as I could ever ask a guy to look. Unless you're talking about a Carey Price, Connor Hellebuck, Igor Shesterkin level talent in the net, he's doing the job as well as you could ask somebody to do it. And so in a year where that was a major question mark coming into the season, I wrote about it. It was a massive talking point before the season began. Like, what is going to happen in the crease for them? He has come in and just four straight solid performances, giving his chance, his team a chance to win. And that's as much as you could ever ask for.
Yeah, and I wrote in my bold predictions article that in the end, given I know that Lukanen is banged up, we've yet to see Colton Ellis yet play, but I predicted that he would play the majority of the starts this year. I think I predicted something like 46 games started or something like that. He's a guy that is a late bloomer, and I think that's a lot of the trend here in the NHL lately is all of a sudden, you know, if you're not one of these highly touted first round or early second round goaltenders that are being drafted, you know, maybe your time to bloom in the NHL as a prospect, as a goaltender, is in your early 30s or late 20s, because Alex Lyon is, what, 32? I think, if I remember correctly, he's 32. You've got guys like Anthony Stolarz in Toronto, who's only, I think, 31 years old, who's playing well. Scott Wedgwood, who's 33, I think, in Colorado, who's playing extremely well. You've got some of these older goaltending players, prospects, you can't even really call them prospects anymore, but just guys who really had to work their way, go through the AHL, go through some really tough stretches to all of a sudden get those opportunities and find those hot stretches of play. And Alex Lyon is that latest example. And, you know, if Alex Lyon this season can be enough to help the Sabres find some stability in net, and whether it's Colton Ellis or Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen when he's healthy, kind of filling the gap in those other games where Alex Lyon needs a break here and there.
Right.
If you could get the solid goaltending while also getting the goal scoring that the Sabres have shown last year, and if, I mean, they didn't show it in the first three games, but if they can find a way to get that goal scoring that they got in the game against Ottawa, you might all of a sudden turn from being super pessimistic about the team like I was for the first three games to being all of a sudden, hey, they get a win against Florida, and all bets are off in terms of what happens from here.
Yeah, we talked about all summer. From everything I heard, the big question marks for this season were going to be what's going to happen in the crease, can the special teams figure it out, and will they score enough, right? Through the first four games, what do we know about those three questions? In the crease, Lyon looks great. I am worried about playing him this much because he's not a guy that's had a career where he's done that. And like you mentioned, he is 32, and that can beat a guy down. But because he doesn't have those miles on his body, you can almost think of it like a running back in the NFL. James Cook, you talk about, doesn't have the miles that a typical running back would have.
Right.
Lyon might not have the typical reps that a goalie would have.
Yeah.
So that is good. So in the crease, right now, you're in good shape. Lyon's there. You can trust him. What's Colton Ellis going to be? Is he even going to get in? I don't know.
Paul Hamilton seems to think that he's going to. He believes that Lukanen's going to go to Rochester, at least get a couple of conditioning games down in Rochester, which makes total sense.
As he should. With missing as much a camp as he did, you can't just throw him in there and expect him to perform. All right, so Lyon, the crease, all good for now. Right. If something comes up, something comes up. But where we stand as of speaking, their goaltending looks good. Special teams. Penalty kill is unbelievable, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
When I spent time as a penalty kill coach in my time with Nichols as a full-time assistant, and that penalty kill is as staunch as you could ever ask for. They're tough to break the puck in on. They defend the middle of the ice really well. They keep pucks on the outside, and their goaltender's playing well. You've got those three factors on a penalty kill, you're in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
The power play woke up against Ottawa.
Which is good.
Which is great to see.
You get the first goal of the season on the power play off a fluke bounce, which, whatever.
Right. I tweeted right after that goal, what, I don't care how that goes in, that gets you up off the mat.
Yep.
Your power play wakes up, they smell one, and then we saw what happened. They go 3-for-3, and they have a great night, right? So, special teams, check. Can they score enough? That is where we're iffy right now, right? I don't know.
Got to show more than just one game.
Against a goaltender that had a tough night.
And Merrill Lyon's not a bad goaltender.
No,
he's a decent backup, actually. And he's young, but he's at least a decent backup that probably is going to be another one of those guys that if he's going to make it at the level,
right,
he's got to start as a backup and build his way up.
Right. I had some conversations about him heading into the game. I was of the opinion that the Sabres needed to get at him on that night. And they did, and that was great. But there were a lot of people like, look at his numbers. He got good numbers. At that age, in that league, it is very easy to give one up, no matter how fluky, like we saw in that first goal on the power play, to get your confidence shaken, and then you're fighting. And that's, I think, a lot of what we saw from Merrill Lyon the other night against Ottawa, is a guy that just, he had an off night, and he knew it, everybody knew it, everything was going in, and that's, you're not going to get that every night in the NHL.
Right.
You'll have a game here or there where you'll get a goalie that has a bad night, but you can't expect to win 30 games a year because you score six on a guy that can't stop a beach ball.
And the one thing that I always love looking at when it comes to today's NHL is like high danger chances and the advanced stats a little bit. But Natural Stat Trick still does a really nice job of tracking all of the Corsi numbers, the, you know, Fenwick and high danger chances, scoring chances. The thing I love looking at too, and it kind of reflects your eye test versus the analytics, is your heat map charts. Yeah. The first two games for the Sabres, you couldn't have been more stone cold right in front of the net or the high danger chances. And then the last two games, the Colorado game, you know, it started out rough, but it got better. And then this last game against Ottawa, they did exactly what they needed to do, get into the high slot, getting down below the hash marks, get in front of the net. And it was burning hot red for the Sabres in that game against Ottawa. And it was a little better, like I said, against Colorado. But those first two games was just like
ugly.
Was very, very bad and ugly, especially at 5-on-5. And then the last two games were much better. And if they can find a way to continue to find that consistency, doing that, getting the high danger chances, fighting for positioning and doing whatever it takes to get into the danger areas, to get a rebound, to find a way to get a quick shot off. If they could build on that and find ways to do that, I think the Sabres are better off that way. Much, much better off.
Absolutely.
And they have the weapons to do it.
And that's part of what I believe that they spoke about all offseason as being their plan. Was we're going to be harder to play against, and that's not just fighting guys and hitting guys in the corner. That's getting to hard areas of the ice. That's getting to the front of the net and finding that spot that, whatever the percentage is, 70% of goals in the NHL come from right directly in front of the crease, right? And so part of being hard to play against is exposing that fact and making other teams work hard to keep you away from that spot. And that is what we did not see enough of in the first few games, and what we've seen, you know, sort of gently taper up since we've really seen them have a little bit of success and then a great night against Ottawa. And that makes goalies' lives harder. We talked about, I had a conversation with Paul after game one, like, Shesterkin was good. He didn't give one up. How many saves did he have to make that looked hard?
If I remember correctly, reading Natural Stat Trick, their high danger chances the entire game, I think, was six. But at even strength, four.
Exactly.
That's and never going to cut it for you.
And not only where the shots are coming from, but traffic in front of him, difficulty moving laterally from one side of the crease to the other. It was all far too easy for the opposing defenders and for the goaltenders. And everything we're saying here about getting to the middle, playing harder, makes both of those groups' jobs harder. And that is everything that they need to do and everything that they have said that they will do to make up for the lack of scoring that they, you know, shipped out when we saw J.J. Paterka out the door.
Yeah. High danger chances was four for Buffalo at even strength and eight. And on the power play or in all situations, but for a team that put up 37 shots on goal, that's just nothing. Not acceptable.
And some of those high danger chances didn't reach the net.
Yeah.
They went wide or high or got blocked.
Right.
And so how many of those did Shesterkin really have to stop?
Honestly, there was two that I remember from that opening game. The one was Dahlin, who walked in from the point, made a really nice move, and then it was from a little more from distance, but still considered high danger. And then the other one was Alex Tuck in front of the net, he got stopped, and then he was like, Shesterkin was out of position, but he was falling out of position and couldn't put a puck in the net that was just sitting there in the crease. That was it, though. Other than that, that was maybe one of the easier 37 save shutouts that not let alone Igor Shesterkin, but any goaltender will ever see.
That's a dream game for a goaltender.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly is. By the way, practice has begun for the Sabres, and Matias Samuelsson is on the ice. He's wearing a normal jersey, and Paul tweeting out the defensive pairings in practice early on. He is paired up right now with Jacob Bryson, so it looks like that'll be your bottom pair defense going into tomorrow's game against the Florida Panthers. Zach Metza, who got called up yesterday, and with Ryan Johnson going back down to Rochester, he's on the extra pairing with Mason Gearson, I don't understand why he's at the NHL level. That's a different discussion for another day. I was hoping that maybe we would get the chance to see Zach Metza maybe play a little bit. Maybe Matias Samuelsson is your left shot defenseman and Metz is your right shot guy.
That would make sense. They were forcing Johnson onto that offside.
And forcing Matias Samuelsson onto that offside, I'm not sure how that's going to work out as well. Also from practice, Justin Danforth not practicing. He left the game with a lower body injury the other night against Ottawa. And Jordan Greenway is on the ice once again, practicing in a yellow non-contact jersey. So that's good news there. Lines are Benson Kulik-Thompson, Josh Dunn, Tyson Kozak, Beck Malenstein, Josh Doan, Ryan McLeod, Alex Tuck, and then Zucker, Krebs, and Quinn. So a couple lines staying the same, a couple other lines looking a little bit different, but nothing really that sticks out too much. So maybe we're a little bit a ways away from seeing Jordan Greenway back out on the ice. But I was talking with Paul earlier. I'm interested to see how that complexion looks when Jordan Greenway comes back, because you mentioned the special teams. Jordan Greenway, one of the reasons why he was brought in was for his defensive play and his play in his own end. You know, you lose Justin Danforth, who was a really good defensive player as well.
Penalty killer.
Yeah.
But Greenway is one of the best penalty killers in the league.
Yes.
He's got a long stick, knows how to use it, clogs up lanes, strong. He really helps with penalty kill, and that's a penalty kill that is strong now. So.
He's almost like a defenseman out there at times when he's at forward, just with how smart he is playing in his own end, but he does have enough offensive skill that does allow him to be a forward. So, but you know, and also Jordan Greenway is not exactly the greatest skater, so maybe just putting him at the wing is probably what's best. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550 are the numbers here if you want to join Owen and myself for the final hour of the Friday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Owen, looking at the Florida Panthers, they started off strong, three straight wins to begin the year. That's without Alexander Barkov. That's without Matthew Tkachuk. Not that Dmitry Kulikov is a huge name on that team, but he's a veteran.
He matters.
He's probably out for the rest of the season with a hand injury. What do you see from the Florida Panthers, given the circumstances with that team? And now they've lost three straight games, making it a little more interesting heading into this matchup on Saturday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, well, you certainly don't want to be playing a angry Florida Panthers team, but this is an angry Florida Panthers team without their best players. And no matter who you are in this league, no matter how good your team is, and Florida is as good as it gets when they're healthy, you can't overcome missing a guy like Barkov and a guy like Tkachuk and. Like, you just can't survive that. I liked fading them a little bit to start the year, regardless of the injuries, because at some point you're going to run out of juice. Bobrovsky's old. They've done a good job of controlling his reps throughout the seasons to keep him able to perform in the playoffs and throughout the season. But that's going to run out eventually. He plays a style that is not conducive to a body that's breaking down. And you got to think at some point that empire will topple without, you know, an influx of younger talent or different new talent, which I wouldn't be surprised if they got their hands on. But just where they're at now,
they'll find a way to get somebody that will change the tide there.
Yeah, but I think that they are ripe to be pounced on. And the Sabres need to recognize that and understand where they're at, where they need to stack wins here after a bad start and in a season where you need to build back the faith of your fan base in both the organization and everyone involved. So it's a massive opportunity for the Sabres to jump on a team while they're down.
Yeah, a win like this, especially after the win you had Wednesday night against Ottawa, will go a long way towards stringing together something that could help you out. And the big thing, too, is that it's been a while since the Sabres have put together a string of successful games at the NHL. I mean, obviously, many years ago, they had the 10-game win streak. Other than that, I can only think of maybe one other instance in the last handful of years where they've won even five games in a row.
Yeah, they don't. They don't rip off.
It's been rough.
Wins like that very often.
Even in the year where they missed the playoffs by a point, I don't remember. I think they maybe had one stretch of games where they won five or six in a row, and that was it.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was a bunch of three games and two games. They need to go out and win more string of games other than just two or three in a row,
right,
and then losing one or two, a handful there, and then end up losing more than three in a row. That was the frustrating part about 2 years ago when Don Granato, his last season before he got fired, was that team only lost four games in a row once, and then other than that, they didn't lose more than that in any such stretch. The problem was is they couldn't stretch together wins of two or three games consistently
enough.
They
just couldn't get a roll going.
Lose two, win one. Lose three, win one. Lose three more, win two. Lose three more, win one. Win, another one. Then it just was so frustrating in that aspect. And then last year obviously was the downfall that they had. And Paul brings up multiple times, and I agree, the stretch of hockey before that 13-game winless streak, they were a playoff team. The stretch after that 13-game winless streak, they were a playoff team. It was just that losing streak, that winless streak, killed your season right off the bat.
Can't live with that.
803-0551, 888-550-2550 are the numbers here. By the way, tomorrow's face-off between the Sabres and the Panthers is at 1 o'clock, which means pregame coverage here on WGR Sports Radio 550 will begin at noon with Brian Koziel. Derek and Joe, I believe, will be here for a one-hour version of the Sports Talk Saturday on WGR between 11 and 12. Brian will take over there. Paul Hamilton, obviously, will be down at the arena for locker room interviews and just providing coverage along with Brian. All right, when we come back, I'm really excited to do this because I've come up with, Owen, if you've ever heard of NHL Connections.
Oh, yeah.
Good. I have one here that I want to test your knowledge on, and I'm not entirely sure, because I've just got the one here with the list of players, but I'm sure there are other people that are just like, oh, hey, there's a connection that's fewer than this.
Right.
And it's always bound to happen, but I came up with one, and I definitely want to go through it with you to see what we can come up with. And Joe, you can chime in as well and join in on the fun here. Looking forward to this and testing Owen's knowledge here. It's a hint, because he's the giant goalie expert, it's goalies for the most part. Brayton Wilson, Owen Parker, Joe Calley on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here. Two more segments to go on this Friday on WGR.
And Ottawa will bring it back. 7 minutes as they get to center remaining in the third. Dylan Cousins with a shot. Glove high, and Alex Lyon just waves at it and snares that out of the air.
I was waiting for you, Joe, to play a little lion sounder, like the lion roar, like the Sabres do.
Only one I have like that is of Bulldog making that sound, I think. So I don't know if I have an actual lion sound.
although I remember that conversation that your dad and Mike had about the when the Panthers have the roar, and it's just, oh my God.
I'm not going to try and imitate him doing it and do a disservice to my father, but I could.
Roar!
Yeah, no, I'm all good. It is unbelievable that they do that. That makes me laugh every time.
Yeah, we've been having a good conversation about Alex Lyon and his impact on the Sabres here in his four games that he's been with the organization. It's been very interesting so far. Yes, we know it's only four games into a season, but man, it's nice to see that the Sabres have a veteran guy that has been able to carry the load with Luke in and out. We still don't know what Colton Ellis is, and hopefully we get the chance to look at it before he, I would anticipate, goes back on waivers and probably gets reclaimed by St. Louis. But
likely that will
happen. Because then at that point, if no other team put in a claim for him, then the Blues would claim him
grab him back.
And then just send him right back to the AHL, because The NHL works that way where, hey, guy goes on waivers, another team claims him. I'll never forget years ago, Owen, and I'd be impressed if you remembered this, but Derek Grant. Remember Derek Grant?
I do remember Derek
Grant. I remember when Derek Grant was on the team. Tim Murray was still the general manager at the time. He was placed on waivers with the hope that he would go down to Rochester. And I'm trying to remember who claimed him. I think it might have been Anaheim that claimed him. And it was so funny because Tim Murray was livid. He was so PO'd that Derek Grant got claimed off waivers. And I remember him in one of his press conferences, or maybe even here with the afternoon show, mentioning something about how he was so upset about the waiver process and everything like that. And it was just like, Derek Grant's not exactly the greatest player. He's probably going to go on waivers and you can reclaim him again. Well, lo and behold, he gets put on waivers like a few days later, gets reclaimed by Tim Murray, and then nobody else claimed him so he could go back down to Rochester. It's just the stupid things like that I remember.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. And my wife will come back to me and say, hey, did you remember to get bread from the store?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oops.
You know what Derek Grant's nickname on Hockey References?
I love Hockey Reference nicknames. Ooh, give it to me. Come on.
A lot of them.
1C.
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 That's funny. I remember there was a situation a couple years ago similar to this where Kyle Dubas was very upset at the Arizona Coyotes.
Oh, who did
for
they
claiming
call?
Harry Sateri, goaltender.
Oh my God, Harry Sateri. What?
Sateri has never done anything
Nothing.
Ever in the league.
I don't even think he's in the NHL anymore.
I remember it being a story where Dubas was furious that they lost Harry Sateri to waivers.
Harry Sateri is 35 years old and he's playing in Switzerland right
Yes.
now.
We have a exactly. stat correction. Elite 1C.
Elite 1C. Even better. Even better.
Derek Grant, elite. Who the heck gave him that nickname?
It's horrible.
Derek, I think I could count on one hand how many points Derek, or two hands, how many points Derek Grant has had in the NHL.
Is it one or two? You probably could do it on one. Like, that'd be really
All right.
funny.
Derek Grant. Nope, that's not the right Derek Grant. Hockey player.
The drummer.
Okay, yeah, I think so. I think that was one. Derek Grant, who, by the way, is still playing, looks like.
Where?
He's playing in Switzerland, ZSC Lions. He's under
that.
Contract. Yep, one more year of under contract over there. His NHL stats, pulling them up real quick. Okay, he's got more than... Oh, okay. Oh, wow. He actually has more points than I thought.
In Switzerland or...
No, in the NHL. NHL. He played...
He had his day where he played
10 years in the NHL.
Yeah.
He put up 132 points, and I can't even tell you if I remember one point he had with the Sabres.
Ooh,
can't even tell you one point.
Remembering a Derek Grant point. This is good.
And it's amazing because actually he scored 54 goals with Anaheim. Holy crap.
It's because he had three assists only on the Sabres.
I remember, sense. I think he was in line to score his first NHL goal with the Sabres. And I think it happened to him multiple times. He was in line to score his first NHL goal with the Sabres or whoever he was playing with, Nashville. He got claimed by Nashville. And I think it happened where in Nashville and in Buffalo, he was in line to score his first NHL goal, and both times it got taken away by coaches' Ooh. Challenges. I think the one in Buffalo was for an offside, and I think the one in Nashville was for goalie interference.
Do you think he hates the offside review as much as Jeremy does?
Who doesn't hate them?
I know.
Who doesn't
it's
hate them?
It's a lot of hate. For that rule.
The only reason those should be in existence is for the most egregious of the calls.
Yeah, the Matt Duchene call that caused it to...
And in that case, be like the NFL where it's just like, okay, replay assist is helping you out here. That was offside right. by a mile. Or, oh yeah, no, replay assist is indicating that that's goaltender interference.
Right.
That's the only reason that it should happen.
Yeah.
Enough with this challenging bull crap. I'm tired of it. Enough of it. All right, Joe, do you want to grab some hockey music? If you can do that,
what does that even mean?
Let's do our fun little activity here. For people that don't know NHL connections, and Owen, you can feel free to chime in and help explain this too if I miss something. NHL connections is a little game where you have one player from today's NHL or whenever you want to have it, and you try to find connections that go back to a player way back in the past. So the one that I saw recently was connecting Matthew Schaefer, the first overall pick of the Islanders this year,
okay.
to Brian Trottier.
Oh, man. Okay.
So Islanders connections.
Right.
So I figured, all right, let's have a goaltender connection, Sabres goaltender connection, to test your knowledge. So,
see how we
Owen,
do here.
I am asking you, please connect Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to Tom Barrasso.
Ooh.
I have one, two, three, four players that all have played and have connected from UPL to Tom Barrasso.
Okay.
And again, this is just one example, and I'm sure somebody's going to say, oh, well, remember this guy played with that guy that led to this guy that led to that guy that led to Tom Barrasso. I've got one example here.
I am not great at these things. So, okay, so I need to get to the Blues or, well, he played for a bunch of different teams.
He played for a bunch of different teams.
He played for Pittsburgh. He played for Ottawa. He played for the Leafs.
I'll give you a hint. I based it solely on getting back to his time playing with the Sabres. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
And I'm sure somebody's going to be like, oh, yeah, well, there's only like one or two players that can connect them. I have four players, so.
Okay.
So connect four in this instance.
And I'm trying to get as low as I can. Man, this is tough. All right, so who's the oldest guy on the Sabres now? How old is Zucker? Zucker's old.
Jason Zucker, I believe, is 32.
So Zucker's played for Pittsburgh. That's it, right? Minnesota?
Jason Zucker is 33 years old, started in Minnesota, then went to Pittsburgh, and then played 1 year with Arizona, 1 year with Nashville, and then the last two with Buffalo.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to Zucker's. I can go back to Zucker with Pittsburgh with Crosby. Crosby back to Lemieux? No. Were they on? Were they together for 1 year? I'm too young.
That they were.
They were.
They were.
And then did
Crosby's
Lemieux
rookie year
play with Barrasso?
Yeah, that would
Bang.
Do it. There you go.
How about that?
Nicely done. Nicely
and
done.
That's three, right? Zucker, that's Crosby, Lemieux.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
There you go. That's nicely done.
I got to tell you, you brought this up, and I thought, I'm in trouble. And I got there. So I'm pretty pleased with that.
I mean, nicely done. The thought process I had is a lot more complex
than
that.
I'm curious where you got to.
All right. So here's the one I came up with. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen played with James Reimer last year.
Ooh, good one.
James Reimer then played with Joffrey Lupul way back in the day with the Leafs during his rookie season. Joffrey Lupul played with Sergei Fedorov with the Anaheim Ducks during his rookie season. And this is me just going rookies. I don't know why I did this.
Just
but
for fun.
There's so many ways that you can have fun with this.
I know.
And I love it.
I love
this
that part.
Element about it. And also another fun rule that ties in with Pittsburgh here. If you could just pick anybody that can find a way to connect to Jaromir Jagr, you're most likely going to connect somehow, some way back into the picture there. So from Joffrey Lupul to Sergei Fedorov. Sergei Fedorov played with Yui Krupp.
Ooh, what a name,
in
Brayton.
Detroit. And then Yui Krupp connects with Tom Barrasso.
That's a good one. Well done.
There you go.
Not as efficient as me, but
I will say
more interesting than
the first time I heard this game played, I loved it immediately because I was thinking in my head, okay, who do I connect here with this? And how did Matthew Schaefer, how can you connect him with Brian Trottier? And the way that it was done, I think there was three ways that they came up with, and every one of them was Jaromir Jagr to Brian Trottier, because Trottier played for the Penguins in the 90s.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. This is a fun game. This is a fun game, and the way you did it was awesome. It was kind of a nice little cut into it, because obviously Jason Zucker to Crosby and because Crosby,
that's some chunks there.
Crosby and Lemieux crossed briefly,
right? 1 year
and
then
his rookie
Crosby
year.
Was living with him, and absolutely.
Yep, and then Mario Lemieux obviously was part of.
I always doubt myself when I'm
the Barrasso teams
these
in the 90s,
and I know them.
Yeah, so that's a fun activity. I definitely want to be able to come up with more of that, because man, that is just so much fun. That's so much fun to do that type of game, and I wanted to try it out today and We got it. We did it. Nicely done.
We got it done. We got there.
All right. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We'll close out the show in just a little bit here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. By the way, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And, of course, it is Football Friday. And Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And also by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Brayton Wilson. And Owen Parker, Joe Calley here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
To Terry in a couple of seconds, and Silverberg the other way to Grant, shorthanded off of Forsberg, score! Followed up by Derek Grant.
Done. Is that his first NHL goal? Probably not.
Who cares?
I don't know. I just found one.
Hold on. That's awesome. I have to look now. When did Derek Grant actually score his first NHL goal? Because, again, he had a couple instances while he is with the Sabres where he
taken
was
taken back.
It was taken back. One with the Sabres, one with the Predators, I think. Okay, so he would have scored his first NHL goal in Anaheim because right after the 16-17 season, he went to Anaheim. And he his first NHL game, he scored two goals against Montreal. October 20th. Which, by the way, speaking of first NHL goals, I've been compiling a list of like guys to score their first NHL goal against Buffalo. And the other day I had him on my list, and the video came up. It was a game back in the tank year, 2014-15. Sabres Ducks. Wild Bill Carlson.
Oh.
William Carlson.
Wow.
Scored his not just first NHL goal, but first two NHL goals.
Forgot he was
against the Sabres.
With the Ducks. That's hilarious.
Yeah, and I've got this list. I've compiled it, and I hope to continue to build on it because, man, there's just some
Names on there.
Wild names on here. Of course, you got to throw Alex Nedeljkovic in there because he scored his first NHL goal as a goalie against the Sabres last year.
I was thinking, like, can I think of the last one? And that was the first one that popped in my head. It was Nedeljkovic.
Michael Kesselring scored his first NHL goal against the Sabres.
That's right.
Now he plays for the Sabres. I'll throw some names out here at you. Caden Gooley, first NHL goal against Buffalo.
Right.
Moritz Seider scored his first NHL goal against the Sabres in overtime, by the way.
I remember that. He was I thought he was going to be so much better than he is now. Seider, he's fine.
I think he's still good. It's just I think the hype surrounding him was way over the top.
I bought into it. I thought he was really special. I just thought he had a lot of attributes that were going to translate, and they just...
Alexi Lafreniere scored his first NHL goal against the Sabres in overtime. I think it was the very same game. Keandre Miller scored his first NHL goal against the Sabres.
That's right. It was the same game.
Going a little back further, Sam Steele, Brett Howden, Neil Pionk, Travis Sanheim, Matthew Tkachuk scored his first goal against the Sabres. Travis Konechny scored his first goal against the Sabres. Zach Hyman, Curtis Lazar, Dougie Hamilton.
Dougie.
Of all people, Brad Marchand. And there is a player that happened to score his first NHL hat trick against the Sabres. So first NHL goals,
ooh,
which resulted in a hat trick. Do you remember? 2010.
You mean
2010?
Yep. I'm not going to have it.
Derek Stepan. I remember watching that game, too. Steven Stamkos also scored both his first NHL goals against the Sabres in the same game. That'll do it for us. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to Owen Parker. Thanks to Paul Hamilton. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Wrap it up for the weekend. Sabres Live, radio-only Sabres Live, coming up next on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.